We're continuing in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. There was a reason last week we didn't get down to the baptism, because we've got a baptism this morning. And so this, I usually preach and go from the Ethiopian eunuch and when he was saved, and we stop. But in going through these verses of Scripture, it's a beautiful, beautiful place to remind us what it's all about to be born again. Now, we're going to start reading. We actually got down into the almost to the 32nd verse, actually. We're going to start reading with verse 25 and read to verse 34 and get the story here, get the message for us. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together. I praise you for the folks that have come to hear your word this morning. And I just ask that every one of us, that our minds will be set upon you, our heart will be turned to you, our ears will be able to hear and to listen, because it's so important that we hear your word. And so please, Father, today, just speak to all of our hearts. Speak to the lost that's here that's never made that commitment to come to you and serve you and praise you and have the joy of rejoicing as this man and his family, his household had. Please, dear Lord, just touch every heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we spoke last week, we looked at how great a miracle that this earthquake, this releasing of Paul and Silas. It was a tremendous miracle. The building should have fallen down. The doors should not have been all jarred open, and the stocks should not have been removed. And beyond all that, all the prisoners should have escaped, and yet none escaped. And so miracle after miracle. But as we spoke last week, that is not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is the one that's to come into the family of the jailer and the jailer himself. And so can you imagine the condition and the thoughts that came upon the jailer's mind? And we know that he was totally wrought with pain and worry, because he knew what the result was going to be. His life was going to be taken, because there were prisoners surely were missing with the evidence he saw from the earthquake. And yet we know that Paul and Silas shouted to him and said with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And so then he grabbed a light and he sprang in, it said. He came trembling and fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas. Understand at this point in time that he has not come by faith to the Lord Jesus. He is not saved, so why is he trembling? He's trembling because his life has just been spared. And there's only two that he sees as a result of that, and that's Paul and Silas. That they are responsible for his life. and he wants to know more. And that's where these precious words come in, because he says, what must I do to be saved? I believe that the jailer, with the evidence that he witnessed, that he knew that this was more than any man or men could do. That there was a superior being, there was someone that was here that had this power. We don't know. Did this jailer, had he heard Paul and Silas as they were preaching and teaching? Was he out by the riverside listening to them? Did he hear them from his room when they were singing praises and praying? We don't know what led to this wonderful question, what must I do to be saved? We know that if every word that our Savior spoke here upon earth, there would not be room in all the volumes of the world to hold them. And so some of these things were not told. Some of those things aren't here for us to see. But we do know that the wonderful and most perfect question came from this man's mouth. And that is, what must I do to be saved? And words like that do not just come from your mouth, it comes from your heart. Because he wanted to know, not only is his life spared, but he was looking for something more than that. What must I do to be saved? The Spirit of God brings these words to his heart and to his mouth, close to death. And that's the sad thing, that so many people, they have to have a scare in their life. They have to have almost everything taken away from them, and they feel defeated and helpless before they turn and listen to the call of the Lord Jesus. It's so sad. It's the greatest decision anyone can ever make, is to trust in the Lord Jesus. And yet so many folks have to be totally down and out. And this man feels that his life has just been spared. That's what brought him. He was that close to death. And so he wants to know more about it. And he said, what must I do to be saved, was the question. And of course, the word was believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe? James declares in 2:19 that the demons believe and tremble. The devil believes and trembles at the word of God. And so as we look at this, we need to understand the devil can't be saved. Demons can't be saved. And so why are they affected by the word of God? Because they know it's true. That's what you must believe. You must believe that the word of God is true. We are lost sinners. We're dying in our sin. We're condemned already, and we need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil himself believes that. And if he believes that, why won't you? Why won't you come by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? Salvation is not something of the mind. It's not something that it's an intellectual belief. I mean, you find these folks that hold doctorate degree, and they expound upon it, and they're as lost as can be because they have not had that experience of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Romans 10:10 tells us, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And so that believe with the heart, we must start with the heart. And some of those things we don't understand. And so faith unto salvation, what does that mean? To have faith unto salvation. You could say, and we hear this many times, talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, I have always believed in God. I have always believed Jesus is the Son of God. I have always believed he died on the cross to take away my sin. I've always believed. But here's the problem. That word always. Because you didn't always believe. Maybe you always knew these things, But until you come by faith to Jesus Christ, that word always cannot exist. Because you weren't born saved. You were born and God protected you until you were to the day of knowing that you're a sinner. And so when that was, is that 10 years old, 5 years old, is that 30 years old? I don't know. Whenever God showed you that you were a sinner, that's the day that you needed to take care of that sin. That was the day it needed to be taken care of. And so don't ever say, I've always believed. Because that's impossible. There has to be a point in time in your life that you didn't believe. Now, you may have come to that age of accountability, that age that you realized you were a sinner, and then very shortly, very quickly, somebody brought the gospel to you, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and told you about the Lord Jesus, and you fell down on your knees, or you stood there and said, oh, please, tell me how to be saved. And so maybe that time was a very short time from the childlike faith unto the point that you had to make a decision for the Lord Jesus. But every single individual that's ever lived cannot say, I have always believed. Because until you come by faith to Jesus Christ, that's the time of the turning. That's the time that you can change that. When you meet Jesus and truly meet Him, it stops being always and it begins a definite time, a definite point in your life when you met the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the day that you can say, now I know Jesus. Now I understand the joy. Now I understand the peace because now I know Jesus as my personal Savior. What wonderful words. Now I know. And so it's going to change. Your voice, your words are going to change from always, I've always believed, to words, now I know. That's the difference. So when someone tells you, oh yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know He died on the cross. I've always believed that. Give them the gospel. Tell them that Jesus died on the cross to save you. And tell them that there'll be a day, a definite time, when you know that you've met the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are blinded by the always believed words. And those words are taught by many denominations and many churches. A universal salvation. Always believed. I've always been saved. And that's a horrible lie that's sending multitudes right to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Until you see the light of the Lord Jesus, you're walking in darkness. I don't care what you say. I've always been saved. I'm going to ask you to please stop lying to yourself. And come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So that you can make the statement, now I'm saved. I know I'm saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Open your eyes, open your heart, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't be blinded by this word always. I've always believed. I've always known that. My grandmother told me these stories, and I've always believed it. I've always known about the Lord Jesus. I've always known about the cross of Calvary. I've always known that He was born a virgin. I've always known that. But the problem is that always known's right up here. And we need to get it down here till you say, now I know. Now I know. So how can anyone get saved? Paul and Silas clearly speak the words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But they spoke those words, but look at verse 32. Don't stop with verse 31, but look at verse 32. They spake unto him the word of the Lord. They didn't just tell them these words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They continued in the word of God. Because what saves folks? The word of God saves folks. And we know, according to John chapter 1, that the word became flesh in John chapter 1 verse 14. And so the word is the Lord Jesus. And so for you to truly be born again, you must know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Believe, yes, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But they spoke the word. They spoke the words of Jesus, and they continued to speak to the jailer and to his household. That's the reason the household was saved. Don't you wish that if the head of the house would get saved, that all the family would be saved automatically? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We have so many children and grandchildren and family members that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if we could just, if we could get saved, then all of our family would be saved? It doesn't work that way. It's an individual decision that you must make. It comes, John 5:24 tells us that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Ephesians 2:8, by grace are ye saved through faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They spake the word of God. They heard the word of God. The heart was changed, and they trusted in the Savior, the Lord Jesus. They believed the words that Paul and Silas were speaking, not because they were speaking, but because they told them the word of God. Again, let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 4. I many times will just quote them. I want you to see this. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth, full of grace and truth. Those wonderful words. Wonderful words. And I hope you're still in John, because go with me to John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Wonderful words. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The only way that you can come by faith of the Lord Jesus is to hear the Word of God. And then by hearing the truth, by hearing the Word of God, you move from always to now I know. And that's what the Lord desires of your heart. That's what every believer desires of every lost person, that you'll go from those words always to now I know and now I believe. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning to read with the 8th verse through the 10th verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's what most people, when they say they've always believed, They're, most of those folks are depending upon their works to make them pleasing unto the Lord. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The good works comes after you're saved, because then you want to serve and then you want to proclaim God's word. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the simple, most powerful words that anyone can speak in the whole universe, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you do, you will be saved. Believe it in your heart. Turn, repent, accept the salvation that is offered unto you. Now let's see what the this jailer, we are told that they spake unto them in verse 32, words of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. So all them heard. Let's see what's happened here in the jailer's life. The jailer and all his house did some things, and they begin to praise the Lord. But look at this. The jailer took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. We need to stop playing games. God doesn't play games. God is serious about our salvation, and he's serious about our service. And there's no game about it. There's joy and there's peace. There's all kinds of games that people play in this life, and all of them are a waste of time. We need to set our eyes and our heart upon the Lord Jesus for service. So we need to stop playing games. And if you continue to and see no problem with that, then we know who the fool is. We need to stand and walk with the Lord Jesus. There was a wonderful change in this jailer's life. So you see, when you do believe, there's instantly a change in your life. There's the evidence. There's the witness there, the change in the jailer's life and the household's life. Just hours earlier, this jailer was a participant in the beating, the scourging of Paul and Silas, either by action or just by word. But he was a part of this scourging. And just hours earlier, the mind of this jailer was totally different. It was a mind of hatred of Paul and Silas for what they were doing. It was a desire to cause as much harm and as much pain. He put them in the lowest jail, and he put them in stocks. He gave them the worst punishment, as if they were murderers, and they had done nothing wrong. And so the hatred that this jailer had, the malice that he had towards these two, and this is what brought him fun. He enjoyed bringing pain and suffering unto Paul and Silas. I'll put you down to the darkest hole, and I'll put you in stocks just for good pleasure. That's the world. The jailer went from being a taskmaster, to a servant. Look what takes place here in verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. He's no longer the mean jailer. He's serving. That's the first change of the heart when you meet the Lord Jesus. You leave self and you go to servant. Self to serve. And that's one of the first evidences that your heart has been changed. That no longer is it me. It's what can I do for you? How can I help you? And it's the mind and the heart. It's changed. Because our Lord Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. And we need to have the same heart. So the first thing that changed was the self. From all about me to serve, how can I help? Proof of salvation. He took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, caring for their wounds that he possibly had placed upon them. If not, he stood by and watched. The next thing he did, We've got in verse 33 there, he took them the same hour and he washed their stripes. So he cleansed their wounds and he bandaged their wounds. What did he do next? Verse 34. He brought them into his house. He made them feel that as if his house was their house. You see, there's action here. There's something has changed in this man's heart. He went from being the master over them in jail to bringing them right into his house and caring for them and meeting their need. The next thing we find is he set a meal before them. Verse 34 tells us. He set a meal before them. And then they sat and they enjoyed the fellowship. They enjoyed the time together. And since they had, how long, we wonder, has it been since they have eaten? How long has it been since they have eaten? They have been beaten. They have been on the road. We don't know. But this is what happens when the heart is made new. There is proof. The jailer presented real proof. I'm saved. Hallelujah. He washed their stripes, the very wounds that he was probably responsible for. He washed them. He bandaged them. He brought them into his house, and he also fed them. He met every physical need that they had. That's what happens when a person gets saved. Goes from self to serve. Goes from always to now I know. The heart was made new. I'm saved. Next thing that took place here in verse 34, rejoiced. He rejoiced believing. The joy that's in your heart the day that you meet Jesus. So there's evidence. And so listen to the Word of God. Open your ears that you can hear. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He has died on the cross for you. Believe in Him. Be born again. And don't wait one more day to be saved, because none of us may have another day. There was something else that took place. Right after he had bandaged their wounds and cleaned their wounds, Paul and Silas takes this family out down to the river or down to a pond or down to the lake, and he baptizes them. Because as the Ethiopian eunuch says, "What hindereth me to be baptized?" I believe the same question came from these folks, because I think as Paul shared the word of the Lord, he told them that after you're born again, you must testify what has happened in your heart. And that testimony is baptism. And so today we're going to enjoy the baptism of Brady because he has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what an opportunity it is that very night that the jailer found the Lord Jesus. He said, "What hinders me to be baptized?" And Paul and Silas, being beaten, put in the prison, put in stocks, they said, "Let's go out and let's show all the world that you're born again." And publicly, they showed all the Romans, all the folks that were around. I know it was night, but they didn't want to wait. They didn't want to tarry, and they went and they baptized the jailer and his family, the whole household. They testified openly, publicly, that I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do this morning. A testimony of what has happened in the heart. Confession is made with the mouth, and then it's time to testify that I am born again. And to testify that, we go down into the water and we stand in the water. That pictures the old self, the old flesh. We go down into under the water and we come back up out of the water. It pictures dying with the Lord Jesus and being raised with the Lord Jesus. Victory. What a joy it is to be a child of God. And this jailer desired, and his household desired, that they would publicly show folks what has happened to their household and to their hearts. And so, how do we have evidence that he was saved? They cleaned their wounds. They brought them into their house. They set meat before them. they rejoiced and they were baptized. Baptism doesn't save. It's got nothing to do with your salvation, but it's got everything with obedience, to do with obedience, to follow the Lord in baptism, to testify that I am a child of God. What a wonderful day it is to be able to do just that, to testify that I am a child of God. So please, go from I've always believed. That's the old liberal, that's the old devil's way. I've always believed. And move to the place where I know, because there's a day, appointed time, that you remember that you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. If that day's gone and you can't remember it, then if you would die today, you're going to wake up in hell. And I don't wish that or desire that of anybody. So please, trust in the Lord Jesus today. Call upon Him as your Savior. I don't care how many years you've sat here and you've said that I'm saved, and you maybe have already been baptized here and all those things, and all of a sudden you realize, by the Word of God, I'm not saved. Then please come today and call upon the Lord Jesus. Be born again. And then have the joy of following in baptism. Let's close in prayer. Father's proof. There's proof of the changed heart. Some people cry, some people laugh, some people have very little emotion at all. Some people fall down on their face, some people come kneeling at the altar. But there's one thing that never changes, and that is a changed heart takes place. That always happens. Many different ways people are affected when they come to Jesus. But, Father, the heart is always made new. As this jailer, as his household, they went from the sergeant at arms that was holding them in the jail to serving them, helping them. So please, dear Lord, just touch our hearts today. Maybe we're on this side of the cross. We've trusted in Jesus. But we forgot that it's not about self. It's about serve. Help us today, Father, to walk with You and bring honor and praise to Your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.